Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
One of the things that was mentioned a good bit again this past week as we were remembering Christy Dignam was that he was trained in a particular tradition of singing called bel canto. And to talk to us about this tradition in Irish music, I'm joined now by the musician and broadcaster and so much else, Philip King. Good afternoon, Philip.
Hello, Brendan. How are you keeping? Hope all is well.
I'm good, thanks. All is great. You gigged with Christy early on in his career, didn't you?
Yes, I did. We were on the road at the same time, probably the early 80s, when their career, and there was a huge buzz about Aslan at that time. I remember one night in the Royal Marine Hotel in Dunleary, hearing Aslan probably for the first time in their full strength and full that the expansive voice and beautiful, as you said, bel canto voice of Christy Dignam was something to behold. You know, the way he stood so physically on the stage with his arms out as if he was embracing the audience.
Yes.
And singing at the top of his voice. He was singing like a full-throated singing in what the bel canto people call his head voice. It was all coming out of his head, and it had that beautiful, if I can use this word, highness about it. And I suppose bel canto, for everybody who's listening, will perfectly well know.
No, they won't. Will you explain to us about bel canto?
Well, it simply means beautiful singing. It originated in Italy. It was part and parcel of, I suppose, a new singing style or grammar in opera. But to come back to Ireland, as you said, and you mentioned sort of bel canto in the context of Ireland, you know, with people like John McCormack and indeed James Joyce, who was one of the great tenors, and that tradition of the Irish tenor. We have the Cork tenor. There were certainly plenty of them when I was growing up. And it is singing in that high voice, but I think that the thing that defines the emotional aspect and push that is in bel canto is the storytelling that's involved in delivering the song, but also hugely important is that you believe what you're singing. Sinead O'Connor has said this. John McCormack said it himself. And I found a little quote from Johnny Cash where he said, "I could wrap myself in the warm song and go anywhere. I was invincible." And that was the sensation that I had when I saw Christy Dignam sing with that beautiful high Irish tenor voice that he had. And sure, we hear it in loads of places, Brendan, don't we? You know, weddings, wakes, funerals, matches, a version of the Banks. But, you know, when you think of Hozier trained as a singer and worked with a new 2007 and 2012, he learned how to sing and inhabit a song. And I think the greatest compliment you can give to an Irish singer or to a singer anywhere is not that you're singing the song, but ultimately the song sings you.
Sings you. Okay, let's listen to this. Is Hozier singing My Laggin' Love? Let's have a listen to that.
We're Laggin' Street sings lullaby. There grows a lily fair. The twilight
so you can hear it there. Like, Philip, in a way, what you're talking about is soul, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's singing with a heart full of soul. That's exactly what you're talking about. And I think Irish people have it in spades. Songs are a great help to us. You know, in times of difficulty, as Johnny Cash says, you can wrap your arms, or a song can wrap its arms around you and be a help. And you know, when we look at the Shannos tradition in Ireland, when we think of the late Seamus Begley singing Bruach Mac Cathair Gabbana. You know, I've been in rooms around the world where Seamus has been singing that song, and there are tears when people when they hear him sing, but they don't know what he's singing about. They don't know the words.
Okay, but there's an emotional frequency to it in some way that touches the soul. Yeah. Now
I think we have a gift. Yeah.
Yeah, you bring it back actually to the old Moore's melodies. God, I used to learn them at my singing classes when I was young. So explain to people what Moore's melodies are.
Well, Thomas Moore, I think, is the father really of the singer songwriter. When you think of the songs that Moore has written, right? The minstrel boy to the war is gone. In the ranks of death, you'll find him. You know, oft in the stilly night, the beautiful last rose of summer, believe me in all these endearing young charms. All of the melodies were corrected at the Belfast Harp Festival, but there was a copy of Moore's melodies in almost every house in Ireland, almost until we arrived at independence.
So did Moore collect these songs, or did he write all of them, or were they old melodies?
Well, the old melodies were collected by Edward Bunting at the Belfast Harp Festival, and they came to Moore, and Moore wrote the lyrics that went with them. And Moore was born in Anger Street, over J.J. Smith's pub. He went down all the way down Dame Street into Trinity College. He befriended Robert Emmet. He emigrated to England and became a friend of Lord Byron's. And I always remember Seamus Heaney saying to me, he said, "I'll credit that there were tears when Moore sang. There was something in the emotional investment in the songs. They were shot through with a very powerful and beautiful longing and emotion."
Yeah. And a bit of violence in there too, would have to be said. Avenging and bright falls the swift sword of Erin on him whom the brave sons of Usheen betrayed. There was that bloody rebelliousness in them as well,
wasn't there? There was. And when you think of the minstrel boy to the war has gone to the ranks of death, you'll find it recorded by The Clash. You know,
recorded by
so many other people as well.
You've suggested another clip, actually. This is Nina Simone doing one of Moore's melodies, right?
Yes. Nina Simone was classically trained, as you know. She was trained as a classical pianist and, of course, was brutally discriminated against in the South that she grew up in. So she had a real affinity to be able to access the power and the beauty of a melody of Moore's. And this is maybe her version, or a snippet of her version, of The Last Rose of Summer, one of our most beloved songs.
No flower of a kindred, no
Nina Simone there, The Last Rose of Summer. That's extraordinary. Philip, you're so good at pulling these threads together, because you can hear in that the kind of John McCormack. They're dismissed as sentimental, those tenors sometimes, sentimental songs of Ireland, but you can hear the John McCormack vibe in that, can't you?
Well, sentimental they are not. There's an air of sentimentality about them from time to time. But, you know, I will challenge anybody to watch the film, John Huston's film of the dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, to hear Frank Patterson sing The Lass of Ockram, you know, is absolutely heartbreaking. It appears to me that we have an affinity to have a warm, warm relationship with these sorts of songs. And when you hear somebody like Nina Simone inhabit that song in that way, isn't it such a wonderful thing? Frank Hart, the great, great song collector and ballad collector, said once, he said, "If you want to know the facts, consult the history books. If you want to know what it felt like, ask a singer." And I think what these songs do is they mark out periods of our history in an emotionally accurate way. They reflect the emotions and the needs of the people at the time that the songs are being written. And we have a golden age of songwriting happening in Ireland now, but it grows out of a Shannos tradition. It grows out of a ballad tradition. Look at what's happening with Lancome and Ye Vagabonds and Lisa O'Neill and that whole revitalization of what I would call a ballad tradition. But you can tie all of this back into Moore and tunes and songs being collected. Do you know what it is, Brendan?
Yeah.
The simplest way to say it is we just love singing and we love songs and we're good at it. And it's a help, as I said, in times of difficulty, but it also gives us a sort of a sensation of, you know, of being real and being present, perhaps in a world that is getting a little bit more digital and a little bit more virtual. When we gather in a room to sing a song for each other, or you're in the back room of a bar and somebody says, give us a bar of a song, we still can do that with, I don't know, with great pleasure. It's very pleasing. If we're in times of emotional distress, it's a great help. And in times of joy, it's exultant.
Yeah. And everyone's homing off each other is the thing, isn't it? That you don't get digitally. Like it's the vibrations of people off each other. So listen, explain then, Christy went to this Frank Merriman singing school where Finbar Fury, Sinead O'Connor, I think Mary Coughlan, I think Fiacn O'Brien said during the week he went there as well. So Frank Merriman was bringing out this the bel canto style out of all these people.
Yes, he was. And he was giving them the ability to have the confidence to inhabit the song with confidence and with clarity and to, in other words, to fall in love with their own voice and not to be afraid of it. Here's the thing about the voice, Brenda, and it's like accent or anything else. The voice is that most personal of all instruments. It's the one that comes from the inside out. It is fueled by the breath of life itself. And it is so, so personal. And I think what the bel canto teachers did was that they gave all of these singers who went to sit with them and listen to them, it gave them the confidence to sing with real, real presence. And that's the thing I think that happens with great singers. They're completely
So to finish up, we asked you to pick a clip of that would give us an example of Christy like opening up and being sung by the song. And you've actually picked him singing Crazy World.
Well, I mean, just listen to the opening of it. He is, in the immediate first two bars of the song, he is entirely present. He is in your heart. He is in your soul. He has collapsed distance between him and you. And he's at home in the heart of the song.
Philip King, I can listen to that all day. Philip King, thanks a million for that. We'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.